This morning we're going to look at Matthew chapter 18, and I've pinched the title from one of the commentators, Can I Be Saved If I Refuse to Forgive Others? That's not to scare you, but to make you realize forgiveness is a big deal. So won't you open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to read together from Matthew chapter 18. We've been going through the parables of Jesus, and we have been looking at this parable of the servant who the king forgave. And we looked at anger a few weeks ago, and now we're looking at the whole subject of forgiveness this morning. So let's read together, verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said to him, Matthew 18, 21, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. Peter thought, you know, this would be good if I can forgive him seven times. I'm doing well. And look at Jesus. Jesus said to him, I did not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And so the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, Have patience with me and I'll pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a few hundred denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, Pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused, and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went out and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to each one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Okay, so this morning we want to look again at the subject of forgiveness. We've been looking at these parables, and we said right at the beginning when we started this series that these parables, these stories are like windows that give us a picture of what the kingdom of God is like, what it means to be a child of the king and to follow Jesus. And it's part of the kingdom of God that Jesus brought about. He said, when he came, he said, the kingdom of God has come. But we were saying in the first week, Dave was helping us and saying, we don't really understand the word kingdom so much, so we use the word revolution because we understand that better. We're living in revolutionary times. And we really must pray, just aside, for what's going on in the Islamic world, because there's great upheaval taking place. But we really need to pray that God brings his peace, and then it's an opportunity for the gospel. If we see what's happening in places like Egypt and other places as well, we're living through world-changing times as the kingdom of God advances in these nations. And that's what's happening behind this unrest. The kingdom of God is advancing throughout the world. The kingdom of God is coming. The gospel is coming to these Islamic nations. That's what's happening behind the unrest. God is at work, and we must pray for his purposes to prevail. And so Jesus is coming, and he's giving us these pictures about the kingdom of God, but it's actually a revolution that he's brought about. It's a complete change in the order that we know. And Jesus is talking to us in these stories. He's helping us to get glimpses of what God is like and what the kingdom of God is like. And this morning, I want to use this parable to talk about the revolution of forgiveness and what forgiveness is all about. And I want to just acknowledge Keller and Paulison and some of our gospel coalition friends for helping me with some of the points here. Because you see, friends, we are a community of the forgiven. That's who we are. We have been, how many of you have been forgiven this morning? We all have been forgiven by Jesus. We're a community of the forgiven, and the message we have is really a message of forgiveness. That we're taking to the world out there, we're saying God has already forgiven you in Christ. Through Jesus, you have already been forgiven. And that's the essence of our mission. We have good news. It's not good advice. It's good news of what's already taken place in Jesus. It's not what you have to do. It's what's already been done. The gospel's not good advice. It's good news. There's a big difference. And so here Jesus is following up with Peter and he's talking about unlimited forgiveness. He's saying, Peter, I want you to have unlimited forgiveness. There must be no limit to your forgiveness of others. Because the servant in this story had been forgiven, but he wasn't forgiving to others. And he had been released of a debt of billions of dollars. This talent was the highest, this amount was the highest amount of currency that you could owe. And so in modern terms, this servant owed the king billions of dollars, billions of rand. He just owed him this amazing amount of money. Some of the commentators felt, well, maybe he was a state official. And somehow, you know, it sounds familiar. And maybe there was something there he owed the king. And he'd allowed to mass this kind of debt. And he owed millions of dollars. And debt and money lending was, just like today, was rife in first century Palestine. And that's the story we find here with the servant. And yet the king's response is what's the main part of the story. I want you to focus on the king this morning, and I want you to see the king's response. The king's response was incredible. It was amazing. It was lavish grace. The king looks at him. He says, please, just give me a bit extra time. I'll pay you back. And the king looks at him, and the Bible says his heart went out to him. And out of pity for him, the Bible says he forgave him of all his debt. He forgave him of everything. Completely everything he forgave him. And it's a picture of the freeness of God's forgiveness. This story, it's a picture. He was indebted to the king. You see, we indebted to God, and he was forgiven of everything. What was the extent of the forgiveness? The extent was that he forgave him for every single dollar and rand he owed him. His wife, his kids would have been sold into slavery, but the king says, no, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to write off the debt. You're free to go. You've been released. It's fine. It's over. You see, friends, forgiveness is a God thing. It's a God thing. It's who God is. It's a picture of who God is. When you read the Bible, these are pictures of who God is, and God is a forgiving God. He's full of mercy and compassion. Shannon was reading this morning from Psalm 103. He's full of mercy and forgiveness and compassion. It says, out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him of all that debt because his heart went out to him. Friends, God's heart has gone out to me. God's heart has gone out to you and you and you and you. It's gone out to all of us. The heart of God has reached out to us in Christ. And he has forgiven us of all that debt because God has such a tremendous heart of compassion. So what is forgiveness really? I just want to look at four things this morning, and they'll point us to this table as we come to break bread this morning. What is forgiveness? Four things. First of all, forgiveness is the cancellation of all our debts. That's what it is. It's the cancellation of all our debts. The gospel is completely free, but it cost God something. It cost God the death of his son. Jesus paid for our sins. So the gospel is free, but it costs God everything. Because we were really in debt to God. Matthew Henry says, every sin we commit is a debt to God, and one day there will be a reckoning. Our conscience is an auditor for God in the soul to call us to account before God. The debt of sin is very great, and some are more in debt than others. But one day our sin will be found out and someone will have to pay for it. But the good news is Jesus has already paid for our sins. Hallelujah. God has forgiven us in Christ. The wounds of God have paid for all our sins. God has paid for all our sins, friends, past, present, and future. Have been paid for by Jesus. Have been paid for by him. You don't have to work it off. You don't have to pay it off. You don't have to pay it in installments. Jesus has forgiven us for all our sins. He's removed our sins from us. Our sins between us and God, the sin that has affected us personally and the sin that affects our relationships with others, Jesus has forgiven us for all that stuff. By one offering, He has forgiven us forever, all our sins. It's incredible. It's amazing, this gospel. Turn with me to Hebrews quickly. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look there together. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 11. It says, "But every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time one single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by one single offering," look at this, it's the most incredible verse just about in the whole Bible, "he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. The Holy Spirit also bears witness and says, 'This is the covenant I'll make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, write them on my mind, and I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there's forgiveness of these, there's no longer any offering for sin that is needed.'" Jesus has dealt with all. I don't think we believe this sometimes. I don't think sometimes we understand it. I think sometimes we might grasp it mentally, but I'm praying this morning that our eyes of our heart will be opened and understand that Jesus has just stepped into our lives and He's forgiven us of all our sins. Past, present, and future. Completely dealt with in Christ. You say, "The sins I'm going to commit tomorrow, they've been paid for already." Hallelujah. Been dealt with on the cross. They've been dealt with by Jesus. It's the freeness of His grace. It's incredible. It's amazing grace. It's astounding. It's wonderful. It's amazing. And it's the root of the gospel that there's forgiveness in God. He's dealt with our sins. He's just stepped in and forgiven. He's paid for it. It's dealt with. I was in the supermarket the other day. I was in Checkers. And I always try and find out which queue's moving the fastest so I can get there. And sometimes when Shannon and I are together, I say, "Well, you go to that queue and I'll go to this one." And we see who gets to the, you know, it's crazy, isn't it? Pray for your pastor. And I got to the cashier, and there was an old woman in front of me, and there was some problem with the cashier, and she didn't have enough money to pay for groceries. And I said to her, "How much is it?" And she said, no, you can't pay for it. It's a lot of money." I said, no, how much is it?" And I was getting going. I said, "How much is it?" She said, it's about 25 Rand 50. So I said, "No, here it is," and I paid it. And she was astounded. She just turned and she looked at me. She said, "You can't pay that?" I said, "No, I want to bless you in Jesus' name. Jesus loves you," and I paid it. Also wanted to get out of there quickly, but but there was some pure motive there as well, believe me. So I said, "I just want to pay that." And as I looked at her face, she turned to me, she said, "I'll pray for you." I said, "Yeah, I'll pray for me." And she was gobsmacked. She was blown away that a complete stranger would just suddenly just pay for groceries. You know, supermarkets are wonderful places to be missional, especially if you've got a bit of extra cash. But as I looked at her, I realized that people don't understand grace. Everything in life you have to pay for, and someone's going to get you. And if you slip up on your payments, you're going to get an SMS or a phone call. And here, I said to her, "No, let me just pay for that." And she was completely rattled. And she said, "No." And I said, "No, just go for it." And the lady at the till, she was like, and friends, it blessed me so much. But a billion times that is what God has done for us. We were standing at the checkout, and our sins were just ringing up, ching, 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 ching. And Jesus stepped in and said, "I'm paying for the whole lot. You're free to go. I'm paying for that. I'm canceling that." He's dealt with our sins. He's dealt with our sins. He's dealt with our root sins. And with that, He's also dealt with our guilt, and He's dealt with our shame. You see, your guilt comes from what you've done wrong, and your shame comes from who you are. And when your sins are forgiven, He forgives you and he washes away the things you've done wrong in life. And he also cleanses you on the inside so that you feel like a new person on the inside. You're not full of shame and you feel disgrace or you feel unworthy. When you know your sins are forgiven, you can lift up your head and you can know, I am forgiven. I'm a new person in Christ. Hallelujah. That's better than any trip to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. To know your sins are forgiven. He deals with your guilt and he deals with your shame. Jesus has done it for us. The king said, I'll forgive you of all that debt. All of it is gone. Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. As I've told you before, it's not north to south, because if you keep going north, eventually you go south. But you can never go west if you're going east. And he's removed our sins from us completely. And friends, as a Christian, and even if you're a non-Christian this morning and you're listening to this, this is the best news you can ever hear. Because when you really realize that, it says in Ephesians, may the eyes of your heart be enlightened to see the hope that comes from the gospel and his glorious inheritance in the saints through your knowledge of him. When you see these things, it liberates you. It sets you free. It changes you completely. Hallelujah. And it brings great assurance and it brings great empowerment when you know that your sins are forgiven by Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you have a few arguments along the way, we'll come to that just now. And if your boss doesn't like you, it doesn't matter, because God loves you and God likes you. You'll sort that out later. But man, it gives you confidence when you know, hey, God's on my side and I'm on God's side. And God doesn't just love me, but he likes me. It brings great assurance when you discover this. In the midst of every revival, the central doctrine that they discover is the doctrine of justification by faith. When you get this, it sets you free like nothing else. When you understand my sins are forgiven, my sins are completely forgiven. Hallelujah. They washed away, not just washed away, but I'm covered with the righteousness of Christ. I'm covered with the righteousness of the spotless, majestic, glorious, sinless Savior. I'm covered with that. Oh, friends, that's the gospel. By one offering, he has forever perfected those who are still being perfected. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the message we can offer to the world out there. We have a message, and it's a message of great forgiveness because of the mercy of the King. The mercy of the King. Hallelujah. And so forgiveness is the cancellation of all my debts, of all my sins. Hallelujah. And when I realize this, friends, it must transform my life. It must change my heart. That's what the servant forgot. He forgot that. He wasn't living with an awareness of that. And it can be the same for us. We can kind of forget. Monday morning, 8 o'clock, you walk into the office, you kind of forget what Jesus has done for you. And we must learn from this parable to live in the light of this. Christians who battle to forgive and bear grudges and get all sensitive about everything, it's because we've forgotten this. If this were to fill our hearts and minds, it would be a lot easier for us. And so forgiveness is not just an event for us, friends. It's also a process. We must receive God's forgiveness, but we must also extend forgiveness to others. Forgiveness has two sides to it. It's accepting and extending. We must also become channels for the forgiveness of God to others. This radical, radical forgiveness to others as well. Because forgiveness has a vertical dimension. We're forgiven by God. But it also has a horizontal dimension as we forgive others, as we walk in forgiveness to others. Firstly, I must keep my heart open before the Lord. But secondly, I must keep my heart open to others on a horizontal level. I must trust others as well. And that's what Jesus is saying here. in Matthew 18, he's saying here, verse 35, he's saying, so also your heavenly Father will do to each one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. And so, friends, the gospel must flow through us to others. It mustn't just stick in our own lives, but it must be an extension through us to others. And we must really, and I'm praying for myself, I'm praying for you, I'm saying this morning, we must extend grace to others. We must give others what they don't deserve. Because we've received what we don't deserve from Jesus. And it needs to fill our hearts as well. This is what the gospel is. And so this parable is teaching us not to get angry, but it's also teaching us to move in unlimited forgiveness. Unlimited forgiveness. That's what it's teaching us. That's what forgiveness is. So don't get angry and sin. Don't ignore situations. Don't put your head in the sand. Don't just gossip. Don't run away. Don't withdraw. But be part of Jesus' radical revolution and extend forgiveness to others. So it's okay. Forgive you. It's going to be okay. And keep reaching out to others. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes you can forgive someone, but you still have to, your emotions take time to catch up, but you must keep the door of your heart open and keep extending forgiveness to others. That's what Jesus is talking about, 70 times 7. Keep doing it, Peter. Keep going, boy. Not just 7 times. Keep your heart open to others. And if you do this, you'll begin to live a radical lifestyle. You'll begin to live a gospel lifestyle. People will look at you and say, what's different about you? What makes you tick? And thirdly, if we fail to do this, friends, what happens is, and that's what this verse means, you're not going to lose your salvation. You're still going to be a Christian. But what it means is, if you fail to forgive, forgiveness is like at the root of the gospel. Forgiveness is what it's all about. Forgiveness is who God is. It's right at the very center. This is so important, this stuff. And if we fail to forgive after receiving the forgiveness of God, something will change in us and in our relationship with God. Something will happen to us. You will become smaller. You will find that there are struggles in your life. You'll still be saved, but you'll still be justified. But you'll find in your experience, your relationship, your ability to hear God will suffer if you refuse to forgive others. This is what it means. We said that last week as well. It's like a marriage. If you've been married for longer than 7 minutes, you know that you can be legally married, but sometimes your relationship with your wife is not at the best point it's ever been. And so you can struggle in your relationship. And it's the same with us. If we refuse to forgive and keep our hearts open, it affects our relationship with the Lord. How can you love God whom you have not seen if you can't love your brother or your sister who you have seen? This is what it's all about. And it does open the door to the demonic in your life. It gives a landing strip for the enemy. Forgiveness is one of the primary areas the devil looks for to land his plane in your life. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's just look there. I'm nearly finished. Look there together, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. It's a little verse tucked away here. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10, he says, anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I've forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ. Look at this next verse. So that we will not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs or his devices or his strategies. And so you'll find in your life, if you don't deal with anger, you don't fix your anger, and you don't move in forgiveness, you will find that you can give opportunity for the enemy's influence in your life. You can even as a Christian experience demonic oppression or an attack from the enemy. You can develop strongholds in your life of bitterness or unforgiveness as well in your life. This is a big deal. And it's an important thing today because people offend us all the time, don't they? and there's abuse and all stuff. So we've got to get hold of this stuff. What is a stronghold? We've been dealing with that in freedom in Christ. What is a stronghold? Listen, here's a wonderful definition. A stronghold is a house made of thoughts. And it'll give the devil somewhere to lodge in your life and to influence your life. A stronghold is a house made of thoughts. And we need to pray, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my stronghold. I want to break up these other thoughts and areas of unforgiveness and anger in my life so the enemy has no lodging place in my life. Nowhere to land his plane. He has to find somewhere else to land. Can't land at Oraibi Airport. He's got to go to Virginia or Cape Town or somewhere else. No landing strip here for him. The devil will not outwit us, Paul says. And that's what happens if we move in unforgiveness. This is a big deal. It's a big deal. And finally, my fourth point is this. Forgiveness also doesn't mean that we just turn a blind eye to sin and we just become people's doormats. And we just say, well, I forgive, I love you, I forgive you. No, there are times where you need to deal with sin. And the teaching of forgiveness here in Matthew 18 is connected in the broader context of being in a community. And if you have a look, let's go back to Matthew 18. It's the same chapter, and Jesus is teaching in the broader context of forgiveness that, and you find sometimes when you, as a pastor, you counsel a woman's being abused by her husband, or there's violence in the home, you can't just tell the woman, submit and forgive, and submit and forgive. No, no, no. You need to deal with that situation. You have to step in sometimes. There are other issues, and you have to deal with. So it's connected with the broader context of sin within the community. If you have a look at Matthew 18, from verse 15 says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along, that every charge may be established by two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And so there's steps to deal with things. You don't just ignore everything. If someone is particularly in a sin or there's something serious going on, we need to learn godly confrontation, speaking the truth in love, going to that person saying, listen, please, I need to talk to you about this. We must do that. We're not good at it sometimes. We need to do that. And if the person doesn't listen and it's serious, take someone along with you, preferably who's bigger than you. Take them along to talk to. Now, I'm just joking, but take someone along to talk to that person as well, because we want to be a community where sin doesn't grow and prosper. Amen. So we're not just going to keep quiet about it. I hope the elders find out about this. No, no, no. We all have a responsibility to one another. And if you see things in my life that are not right, I would hope and pray that you'd have the courage to come alongside and say, I need to talk to you about this. And so we're helping one another. So forgiveness doesn't just mean we just forgive everyone and we forget about everything. There are times where we need to step in where there's sin issues and it's ongoing as well. And that's what this is saying here. But the main part of this passage, friends, is that we have received this great forgiveness from God. And it's just amazing. I mean, the longer I'm a Christian, the more I'm amazed at it. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound of what God has done for us. And we need this message, and we need to move in this forgiveness, because daily we sin against others, don't we? I know, I put my foot in it all the time. And others sin against us. And if we can get this right, we can live out this gospel revolution effectively. And so maybe there's folk you need to forgive today. We've done that in the Freedom in Christ. We pinned all the names and we burnt it on the cross. Maybe even today there are folk you need to forgive. Maybe you need to just say to someone, look, forgive me. I was wrong. I wronged you. I'm sorry. I ask your forgiveness. This breaking of bread, this bread and this cup is a reminder, friends, that Jesus purchased our forgiveness for us. It points to the gospel, and it points to the fact that our God is a forgiving God. In essence, God is forgiving. That's what he is. It says in Isaiah 53, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. God is a forgiving God. He forgave him of all that debt. Oh, I'm praying today as you leave this place, you'll go rejoicing. You'll lift your head up. Say, Lord, thank you for your great forgiveness. There's forgiveness with God our Father, and He has spoken that word of forgiveness in Christ on the cross. The forgiveness of sin is the pledge of entrance into the whole riches of the grace of God. If you're not a Christian this morning, Jesus is here. And He points to the sin in your life, of which you're aware of and which you're ashamed of. And He says to you, forgiven. 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 Hallelujah. Do you need that forgiveness today? All you need to do is to turn to Jesus. Open your heart to Him. Say, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. I believe in your forgiveness today. Maybe you don't know God, but His forgiveness is available for you today. And if you're a Christian this morning, this table speaks about God's great, great forgiveness. If you've ever watched that movie, Amazing Grace, about John Newton, the slave trader, go and watch it. Get it out today if you haven't seen it before. And he's working in the parish. He was a slave trader in one of the most horrible jobs in the world, if you like. And when William Wilberforce meets him at the end of he's going blind. He can't see very much. And he said, well, there's just two things I remember. I was a great sinner, but I have a great Savior. Hallelujah. As you get older, you forget about all sorts of other things, but this becomes more and more important. I was a great sinner, but I have a great Savior. Hallelujah. And friends, this table points to the great forgiveness of God. But Jesus took the bread and He broke it, and He said, in a similar fashion, my body is going to be broken for you. And He took the cup at the table, and He said, drink of this cup, because this cup points to the new covenant in my blood. It washes away all your sins. All your sins. Eternal salvation. Hallelujah. Let's stand together.